Applications for free GP care have been extended from today to include those aged between 8 and 69 years on a means-tested basis. The development follows a deal between the Irish Medical Organisation and the government agreed in July. People can apply for a GP card under the programme on the HSE website. We can talk now to the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, who joins us from the Fianna Fáil Party's Think Inn in Tipperary. A very good afternoon to you, Minister, and welcome to the programme. So,
good afternoon, Brian.
Free means-tested GP care now being extended to the 8 to 69-year-olds. The IMO, the Irish Medical Organisation, says it'll mean an additional 6 to 15 visits to each general practice every week. Now, how are under-pressure GPs going to manage that extra demand without even longer waiting times for patients?
The very point of the measure, Brian, is that we have more people showing up, because this measure is targeting the squeezed middle. It's a landmark move. It's part of an addition of 500,000 GP cards to men, women and children right across the country. And the reality is there's people listening to us right now who up until today haven't qualified for a medical card or a GP card, and they simply can't afford the 60 or 70 euro to see the GP, and this measure is aimed at them. Now, we negotiated at length with the IMO. The IMO and GPs have said, yes, we want to do this. We want to make sure that everyone can access healthcare, that it is affordable for everybody, which is a core government priority. And as a result of that negotiation, we have put 130 million euro in place to help GPs increase capacity, because the very increases in visits that the GPs are talking about is exactly the point of this measure, because those extra people who are going to come to see their GPs are people who right now need to see their GP but don't have the money to do so.
But right now, Minister, according to the Irish College of General Practitioners, a survey they carried out, only one in five GPs are taking on new GMS patients.
Well, most GPs, the vast majority of GPs, of course, have a GMS list. And I was very encouraged to see that 95% of eligible GPs have come on board with this scheme. So as your listeners will be aware, GP care became free for 6 and 7 year olds in August, and 95% of eligible GPs have come on board, because they, as I said, they know they want to make sure their patients can get to see them, and they are aware of the very significant increase in supports that are provided as part of this rollout.
But even again, the College of General Practitioners says the plans to boost training, and I think up to, 350 GP places by 2026, and that's some way down the road. But they say that this will not meet the expected demand.
It was certainly, that's not the conversation I'm having with the ICGP. So we are tripling the number of GP training places, and that finishes up next year at about 350. But this year we're up over 280. In fact, I'm very happy to be able to report that according to Department of Health briefing I got just in the last few days, for every GP who is retiring in Ireland, 1.5 GPs are now qualifying. And this is a great testament to the colleges, to the ICGP. The other thing the ICGP is doing is it's bringing between this year and next year several hundred fully qualified GPs from abroad, including from countries like South Africa. So we are very aware that we need more GPs, particularly in some urban areas, particularly in some of the more rural areas. That's exactly why we have seen such a big increase in training posts. It's why we're supporting the good work of the ICGP in bringing GPs into Ireland from abroad.
All right. Of course, pressures elsewhere in the health service as well. 526 people in EDs. Emergency departments are on wards today waiting for admission to a hospital bed. That includes, according to the Nurses and Midwives Organisation, 7 children. These are their figures. And they're repeating their call for an urgent meeting of the Emergency Department Task Force. Is it time for that task force to reconvene?
I believe it's already convened for next Monday. Certainly, Philney Hay and I were talking about this last week. I'll be attending that. I think it is important to say a few things. First of all, we need to acknowledge the work that is going on around the country by our frontline healthcare workers. Because of their work and because of some of the reforms we're bringing in, because of a move to more weekend working, because of a move to having a higher workforce in the hospitals, in the community, in the emergency departments, from March to July, we've seen a steady reduction in the number of patients on trolleys through August. It has been rightly pointed out that that number began to rise again, and I'm engaged with the HSE to make sure that we continue to see those numbers falling. We know that some hospitals like Waterford, Tullamore, Portlaoise and others are doing very well. We know other hospitals are still under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I'm looking at the figures today from University Hospital Limerick, which has been a persistent black spot in relation to this, hasn't it? 115 people, Minister, today waiting for a bed, 46 in the ED, 69 on the wards. Now, you did send in, or the HSE sent in a team some time back after criticism from HICWA of the way the ED was operated there, but the situation seems as bad as ever.
No, the situation in Limerick is improving. And as you say, there's a very large number being provided, but I can't remember the number, the exact number you said, but nearly 70 of those are on wards. So they've been admitted, they've been assessed, they've been admitted to the hospital, and they're up in a war. On a ward, and they're getting appropriate care. The people I'm really concerned about are the patients who've been admitted and they're on corridors on trolleys. It's not an appropriate place for them to be. But even in Limerick, where we've seen a big increase in the resources they have available, HICWA in their latest report acknowledged that Limerick is now increasing senior decision makers on site at the weekends and that they're getting more support from the community and from the rest of the hospital. Even there, year to date, we're seeing a reduction in the number of patients on trolleys versus 2019, in spite of a very large increase in the number of patients coming into emergency departments. So really my focus and the focus of the HSE is continuing to increase the resources, continuing to move to 7 day a week discharge, continuing to roll out the urgent care plan, provide non-ED options to people like out of hours GPs, injury units and so forth, and keep driving those numbers of patients on trolleys down.
And what about the resources available to CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service? Now, we know there have been very many difficulties with that service around the country, and figures today provided to Sinn Féin spokesman Mark Ward say that the refusal rates nationally now for children referred to the service are running at 40%, above 50% in some parts of the country. Are those refusal rates going to continue to go up?
Well, what's important, not so much is the patients who CAMHS are saying, look, the CAMHS service is not the appropriate place for this child. What's important is the number of children who are waiting, be it for community care or for CAMHS. I'm acutely aware that we have parents right across the country who are desperately trying to get support for their child. We talk about CAMHS all the time, but really what we must be talking about is youth mental health. CAMHS is for 1 in 50 children. It's for the children who need the most significant support.
And they're not getting it.
We've seen a reduction over the summer.
Minister. And it's the postcode lottery. Sorry to cut across you, but it's a postcode lottery element of this. If the child and family are in Cork or in Kerry or in parts of the southeast, they have a much lower possibility of getting access to this service. And what Mark Ward is suggesting is that maybe should be some centralised triage referral system, so at least the children who need to be seen can be prioritised.
Yeah, that's right. The reality is that the level of access around the country is different. There are different levels of performance. There are different levels of productivity. So two of the things that Minister Butler and I have done is we have brought in a new national clinical lead, Dr. Amanda Burke. She comes with decades of experience in this. Dr. Burke and I spoke recently about what needs to happen. We have a very clear plan along with Minister Butler in terms of reducing the waiting lists for CAMHS. At a national level, the numbers are far too high, but we are seeing them fall. So they went from 4,600 to 3,900 over the summer. That needs to keep happening. Right now, 6 out of every 7 children who are accepted into CAMHS are being actively supported, but that's not enough because there's 1 in 7 who is on that list, and we have to make sure that everybody who needs that care can get it. But can I just say as well, Brian,
briefly, if you could,
that's only 1 in 50. The youth mental health services, we're investing in them as well, and then there's a lot of preventative action we can take. You'll have heard me talk, for example, about bringing in voluntary bans on phones in schools and other preventative measures that can help.
We'll come back, I'm sure, to that and to CAMHS in due course. But for the moment, thank you very much for talking to us. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly there joining us from Tipperary.